Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
The Dave Glover Show is sponsored by the Michaels Flooring Outlet, the flooring experts, igotfloor.com.
You are listening to the Rachel. You're not listening to the Rachel Zimmerman Show. That's my show on the weekends. You're listening to the Dave Glover Show on KMOX. I'm Rachel Zimmerman. I'm on this show every day from 1 to 5 p.m. Dave is out taking a well-deserved break for the holiday season. Andrew and Wheels are also out today, so it's just me holding down the fort here with John and Daniel producing today. And Kelly Jackson is here from SLU. She's with the Department of Communications. Kelly, it's so good to see you.
Hi, Rachel. It's great to see you.
So we first connected back about a year ago, 2024 election, and we were just talking about different, you know, social media trends, how people are responding to social media in this political environment. So I wanted to have you on today to talk about some of the biggest trends of 2025, how we've seen them play out in politics in particular. But before we get started there, just kind of explain what you do at SLU. What's your day-to-day like, and what do you teach these students?
Well, that's a great question. My day-to-day as faculty is never the same just because I love interacting with students. They bring so much great energy. I teach both undergraduate students and graduate students at SLU. I teach primarily integrated strategic communication courses, which is kind of ad and PR, some marketing communication rolled together. I also teach courses in social media, public speaking. I teach a graduate course in social media strategy, in strategic communication. And so it's really, every day is different. And that's what I love. Students bring so much energy and enthusiasm into the classroom. So it's, every day is kind of different and fun.
Yeah, it seems like you're in a really unique position where you're interacting with these young adults. And I mean, you're going to have different kids in different classes. And then the next semester, you're getting a whole new crop. So you're probably getting a really good sample of what's going on, particularly with young people in the St. Louis area. I want to zero in, though, on the social media aspect of what you do. It moves so quickly. Kelly, how do you personally stay on top of all of these trends and just know what's happening so that you can then turn around and help contextualize and explain it and teach it to people?
It is a lot. I would be remiss if I didn't give my daughter, who is a college student, and my son, who is a junior high school student, some credit for keeping me up on trends that they're interested in. So I get a very curated feed from my kids of TikTok trends and things that they are kind of currently obsessing about or think are interesting. My college students are really all over the spectrum on the things that they are interested in or that they respond to. And they are definitely giving me insights into the stuff that works for them, the things that they're skeptical about, the things that they no longer believe in on social. I honestly, one of the things that I do is create Google alerts for myself about social media, about political trends in social media, about Gen Z and social media. Every year, also, my students work on a real world advertising campaign for a client. And every year that corporate client will want some insights into their generation. So we spend a whole semester doing deeper research into what their generation cares about, what motivates them, and what they're interested in. So Pew Research and things like that, using some very structured research, formal research, and then a lot of primary research that my students do with their peers to get insights into Gen Z.
Kelly, this might be an unfair question. I'm kind of springing it on you, but you just got me to thinking. You're talking about, you know, what these young adults care about, what they've stopped caring about. I saw several articles recently that said, you know, we're looking at these studies and it's showing that young people are kind of losing faith in traditional media and traditional journalism. In your experience, what do you hear from the kids that you're teaching?
It is really interesting because I have admittedly a biased view as part of the communication department at St. Louis University, because in our department, we have a very active, thriving journalism program. So many of my students, even though they might be in a strategic communication class, have also taken at least basic journalism classes. So they have perspectives already, and we have excellent faculty. And what we're finding really nationally is that student journalism and independent journalism are places where we're seeing a lot more trust, a lot more authenticity. There is a lot more risk taking by student journalists because they don't have the same corporate ownership and influence that traditional media now has. So for me, I have a lot of hope for where we're going with journalism. I see students that are really passionate about it, that care about it deeply, and that are doing really great, unbiased, unfiltered journalism. So that part makes me excited. The truth is, though, that almost all Americans across the board are losing faith in traditional media and in traditional journalism. Right now, we see that social media, for the first time, has supplanted television news as the primary source of news for most Americans. Most people are going to social media to get their news, and it's not always from what we might call trusted or established sources.
Yeah, I want to dig a little deeper there when you say these students are maybe taking a risk that a corporate journalist is not able to take or doesn't want to take. Do you mean by that they're maybe more willing to infuse their opinion in the reporting, or do you mean that in a different way?
So I mean it in the way that students sometimes will be willing to take on power structures that sometimes would not be, that might be sort of squashed.
Well, you don't want to make your bosses mad. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. You know, but when we look at like what just happened with the 60 Minutes story about the Venezuelan prisons, right? That kind of had some overtones of maybe being adjusted by corporate media as opposed to a straight read on that story. And students tend to buck that system a lot.
And then really quickly, Kelly, I know that sometimes, you know, screen time can be a lot and people experience burnout and, you know, people will talk about like, I need to take a digital detox. You know, you said you have these Google alerts set up to kind of keep you on top of the trends. But how do you handle those moments where you feel I've been on my device too much? I need to take a break. What do you personally do to kind of get back on track if you're feeling a little off there?
Yeah, that's a great question. And so many of us are addicted to our screens, really. Even if we're not using social media, we're using it for other kinds of alerts and calendars and to manage businesses. So it can be overwhelming for almost everybody. What I do is try to schedule breaks for myself. So I try to make sure that I am turning everything off at a reasonable time at night. I tend to be one of those people that will sometimes do late night doom scrolling. And so I've had to curtail that kind of behavior. I also try to not be reactive to every alert, to every notification. I usually turn most of those off. I have trusted sources that I go to seek information or news. And so for me, that tends to be much more manageable than being on constant alert for what the next crisis or news break would be.
Absolutely. I am talking with Kelly Jackson from St. Louis University with the Department of Communications there. She is really great at helping us understand what's going on social media, in communications. We want to talk about some of the biggest trends that we saw in 2025. Major ways that social media impacted news and politics. One I definitely wanted to get your take on, Kelly, was Zohran Mamdani's election in New York. This is someone who absolutely knew how to harness the power of social media. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I think, wow, his campaign was really amazing from a strategic communication standpoint and from a social media standpoint and from a political standpoint. So I was really following it very closely. The idea that democracy, just like we were talking about, you know, traditional media, maybe faith in that is eroding. So is Americans' faith in democracy. There's a sense across the board, across the political spectrum, that things aren't working right for the average American, that things are too expensive, that it's hard to make a living, that we have a lot of insecurities around how we're going to afford to live in America. And so the Mamdani campaign was really smart about talking to people in a very hyper-localized way, where it wasn't just pandering, it wasn't just about empty promises, but it was about very specific, concrete action that he was proposing to make people's lives better. At the end of the day, every American wants a politician that cares about their issues and that cares about making their lives better. And so that idea of being able to sort of combine that grassroots interaction with people on the ground in New York and then the sort of savvy use of social media that his campaign had was really smart. It's hard to replicate, but it is a model that I think a lot of campaigns should be looking to going in the future. He is super charismatic. Not every politician is going to be super charismatic. He is very photogenic. He is comfortable in front of a camera. He was a rapper in Uganda. You know, his mother is a film producer. So he's grown up very comfortable and with access to some really hyper-talented people in that space. Mm-hmm. His campaign absolutely utilized that, but not in a way to make it seem overproduced, super slick, and really kind of forced. It was very natural. There was some gentle trolling that was done, good use of humor, but a lot of very personal, very New York stories that he was part of.
Yeah, that's when I first became aware of Mamdani, was these videos he would do just interviewing people on the streets in New York City. I mean, it doesn't get more like boots on the ground than that. Kelly, let me spring another unfair question on you. You just brought up how savvy Zohran is when it came to running this campaign using social media. I feel like maybe a lot of people listening are thinking, well, sure, he's, you know, 33, 34 years old. He grew up with this sort of thing. Of course he's savvy, but I've missed the boat on that. Do you believe that's true? I think it is more instinctive for the younger generation, but if someone who feels just completely on the outside of this type of content, do you have any suggestions on how they could learn more or break in?
There are so many people of all ages across so many lifestyles and niches that are making an impact on social media. So you can find people who are, for example, for me, as I'm now on the other end, like sort of in this aging demographic now, looking at content creators who are saying, wear what you want, do what you want. Here are life lessons for being, you know, confident and self-assured and as you get into sort of older demographics. And those people, really everybody that does that has this through line of authenticity. That is what people are desperate for. Okay. And so if you come across, regardless of who you are, what your political affiliation is, what your interests are, that authenticity and decency and sort of the humanity is what people are really responding to. There was a gentleman who had been a farmer who was having conversations on TikTok, like doing a response video to another farmer that was talking about sort of issues related to, this was post Trump's election. discussion, but issues that were impacting particularly soybean farmers. The gentleman that responded, I cannot remember his name. I'm sorry. I can look it up in a minute. But he does have a political affiliation. He does lean Democrat, but he was talking and responding to this video from a very human perspective of like, I have lived this life. I too am a farmer. These are the policies that have affected what we're feeling. And that sense of not demonizing the other, of reaching sort of shared consensus, shared values, shared experiences, is what makes social media actually most powerful. The things that we're seeing younger people respond to are those authenticity cues. That is the thing that they want to see. So really hyper-polished videos to them can be less interesting. If you have some quirks, you're fine. If you mess up, you're fine. It's okay. So I think that taking that sense of like self-judgment out of the equation is really a big part of this. And Gen Z is really good at that. they kind of encourage that amongst each other and themselves.
That's Kelly Jackson from St. Louis University's Department of Communications. We're talking about social media trends in 2025 and beyond, really. We are going to take a break. Kelly, you're good to hang out one more segment, though, right? Okay,
sure.
Cool. We will be right back. You're listening to The Dave Glover Show on KMOX.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees.
My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of the Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Dave,
Mike Glover Show on KMOX. I'm Rachel Zimmerman. Happy to be hosting today. And my time with Kelly Jackson from SLU, Department of Communications, is going by so quickly. This has been such a great conversation so far. We are talking social media trends in 2025. How does that intersect with our daily life, with politics, with all sorts of things? Kelly, I know you have been looking into a lot on this social media ban for children under the age of 16. That's going on in Australia. Kind of tell us a little bit about that and what you've discovered.
Yeah, so Australia has sort of taken the lead globally, and people around the world are looking at what the outcome of this is. Certainly the tech companies are very interested in how this is going to. They have a vested interest and a profit motive to keep kids on social media and engaged as much as possible.
So important to keep that in mind, because I think a lot of people just don't even think about that. It's like, no, they want your kids on these devices as much as possible.
Absolutely. And part of that really gets to the reason why parents see problems with their own children. Mine are not excluded, you know, given that I'm a parent and a professor, that I work in this area. Mine are absolutely addicted to their screens in certain ways. So we fight that battle at home, too. The algorithm is intended to make it like a slot machine where you're getting these sort of periodic dopamine hits. And so whether it's notifications, haptics, where your phone buzzes or it does something, it moves, or where you're getting sort of little updates or prompts or nudges to that, like to continue a streak or that a friend you know has recently commented, those things actively keep us all engaged. Mm-hmm. And the more time spent, the easier it is to expose us to advertising messages online. That's essentially what they're doing. And so really, we are the product. We are what is being sold online, because the platforms are selling us and our kids' attention to advertisers. So for kids, that kind of addictive stream is so hard to resist, because they really have no idea that they're essentially being manipulated in a way. And we're all being conditioned to do this. So the social media ban in Australia is really an idea of, like, let kids be kids, shift their access to social media until they are over 16 or at 16, and let them focus on being a kid and developing other kinds of offline skills academically and socially. The tech companies have been really adverse to this, with the idea that it's so hard to manage all these, you know, billions of users across the globe and to get very site specific. Yet, I will argue that they are very aware of all of our individual patterns and behaviors. This is how we get sort of customized feeds that are intended to appeal to us. So they can see when kids get out of school, their use of social media platforms increases, right? So they can have an idea, very hyper-localized, of who is where and who is engaging with what kind of content. To be able to shut that down or slow that down is within their capacity to change, but they're very adverse to doing that. Again, there's a profit reason to not do that. Here in Missouri, we saw something similar with the Pornhub situation, mm-hmm. when basically Missouri was restricting access to minors to adult content. And the company decided, well, we're just going to shut it off entirely for the state of Missouri, because we don't want to deal with the difficulty of having to do age verification. There is pushback that that will create some sort of, like, government list of identities and things like that. But there are ways to do age verification that do not record and retain information, which is what Australia is doing. They're using a third-party software that uses AI to guess the age of the person, or to judge the age of the person that is applying for a social media account. And once they scan the facial features of that person, it's really a yes or no decision. Are they of age? Are they not? Do they appear to be a minor? And if they are regardless of what the decision is, that image is then deleted. There's no retention of it, and there's no connection offline or to, you know, government databases, et cetera.
That's very, very good to know. Kelly, oh my gosh, I cannot believe we are already out of time. This has been a great conversation. Thank you so much for all you do and staying on top of these trends and taking the time to come down to KMOX and talk to us. And I would really love to connect again soon, because we didn't get to like half the topics we wanted to today, but there's just so much to get into. But Kelly, thank you for your time and happy holidays. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much. Happy holidays.
All right. When we come back, we're talking to Lindsay Mastis. She is an AI and tech anchor, talking all things AI. Next up, you're listening to The Dave Glover Show. Keep it right here on KMOX. The Dave Glover Show on KMOX. My name is Rachel Zimmerman. You hear me on this show every day from 1 to 5 p.m., one of Dave's co-hosts. But since he is out enjoying some well-deserved time off this holiday season, I'm hosting today, and I'm really happy to be talking to Lindsay Mastis, who's been on the show before. She is an AI and tech anchor, lindsaymastis.com. Lindsay, thank you so much for taking the time to come on KMOX today.
Thank you for having me.
Uh-oh, we're echoing a little bit. We might have to get Lindsay on the phone, but we'll try to work this out as best we can. I'm going to ask you a question to get started here, Lindsay. Why don't you remind us of your background and your St. Louis connection that you have? Oh, no. We're having technical issues here. Let's take a pause for a second here. I'm going to have our producer, Daniel, get Lindsay on the phone if she can hear me. But we'll keep her up on the stream so everyone listening at home can still see her lovely face as we have this conversation. And we will do this over the phone. I do want to let everybody know while we wait to get Lindsay on the line here. Michael Calhoun was reporting on this at the top of the hour. We have just launched our KMOX 100th anniversary website. You guys, this website is so cool. KMOX100.com. Go check it out today, as tomorrow is the 100-year anniversary of the radio station. It's just really cool. A lot of old photos. You can check out all of our different KMOX pioneers that we have. And just a lot of history to glean from that website. All right. Do we have Lindsay on the line? Awesome. Awesome. So let's get her up on the phone. Hey, Lindsay. Hello again. Sorry about that.
Hello. I could hear you, but I know you couldn't hear me, but I can hear you wonderfully now. I was just in St. Louis a few days ago. I'm originally from St. Louis. My family lives there. We had a wonderful time. And of course, I'm now back in Washington, D.C., where my home base is located. I've been here for a very, very long time, focusing on AI and tech.
Awesome. And Lindsay, tell us, how did you develop this special interest in artificial intelligence and start reporting on it?
Yeah, I've been interested in technology my entire life. If any of my old classmates are watching, they'll probably remember I was a big Star Trek Next Generation fan. So my love of technology has been lifelong. And of course, when OpenAI came out with ChatGPT, it was really interesting because at that moment, something shifted in the newsroom. Everyone around me was starting to take technology seriously. And so what I ended up doing is, a few stories on it. My news director came to me and said, "Do you want this to be your main thing?" I said, "Yes, absolutely." So I became the first news anchor in the country to have AI as my official beat. And I've been reporting on it ever since. And then earlier this year, I decided to make it the only thing I do. So I focus exclusively now on AI and tech.
Yeah, and I know you're creating a lot of content and doing a lot of reporting on AI. I definitely want to give you an opportunity to, let people know how they can follow you and stay up to date on all of this different news a little later on in the interview. But first, I want to get started with kind of a big topic when it comes to AI, and that is data centers. From what I understand, they're pretty controversial. We've had some controversy with data centers, perhaps coming here to St. Louis. So Lindsay, tell us a little bit about that. Why are they so controversial?
It's very much, there's many reasons, first of all, but there's also very much a not in my backyard type of situation going on as well. When it comes to artificial intelligence, to technology, right now our infrastructure is hurting a bit. We really don't have enough energy for what's coming. And so there is this mad dash to create an infrastructure that can handle the type of computing that we're going to need in the future. And data centers is a really huge part of that. So it's one of those things that it's necessary, but there's a lot of bad that goes with the good. The good part of it is that, you know, when we get enough data centers, we have enough compute power, we'll be able to do amazing things with artificial intelligence and robotics that we've never dreamed of. On the negative side, it takes up a lot of energy. There are environmental concerns. There are concerns in some neighborhoods with the noise that it might be emitting. Some of those issues have been brought up in a lot of areas, but I live in a part of the country known as Data Center Alley. So we have an abundance here, and there have been a lot of talk about this. And what I have come to understand from some of my reporting, from some of the panels that I moderate, I talk to a lot of people inside and outside of this space, and it's that data centers are not all created equal. So when you're, you know, finding out, oh, is this coming into my neighborhood, my community, it's really important to start doing the research to find out, well, what is it about this specific, you know, company or this specific type of data center? Most of the people that I talk to in the AI world, they don't want to create problems. They want to find solutions and use AI to find those solutions. So what's so interesting is when it comes to the amount of power that we have to use for artificial intelligence, we have researchers that are using AI to try to figure out how to not need as much power. So it's like AI helping the future of AI, which is fascinating to me. And yeah, data centers is one part of the equation, but there's some other things going on too that I think we're going to hear more about perhaps this year and the years to come, about how we're going to be able to power artificial intelligence. And one of them, again, is nuclear technology. I'm not sure if you saw the headlines earlier this year about one of the big technology companies basically planning to decommission a nuclear site. And the reason for that, and I was in the room when one of the previous secretaries of energy was talking about, you know, incentives to have companies do this sort of thing, is because those centers are already hooked up to our grid. And so, again, when we're talking about data centers, this is an infrastructure issue. So there's just so much that goes into it. But yeah, very controversial. It's not going to be something that's solved overnight. But I definitely urge everyone to, you know, do your research as much as you can. And it can be hard.
Yes.
Because some of these companies are kind of stealth about it. You may not know what's going on until it's reached a certain stage. And it does make it difficult to have a dialogue and truly understand what's about to happen if there's no communication about what to expect.
Yeah, absolutely. Here in St. Louis, there was talk of a data center in St. Charles County, but the problem is no one wanted to disclose who was behind it, what it was for. So that caused a lot of panic. And then ultimately that project got shelved. But like you said, Lindsay, it is so important to do your research and be informed on what's going on. That's why it's important to listen to people like Lindsay Mastis, who do this for a living and, you know, put a lot of effort into understanding what's going on and educating the rest of us about it. Lindsay, you just said you talk to a lot of people in the AI realm who are not coming in with a negative intention. Do you think that sometimes the general public or the media even have a tendency to paint AI with a very negative, pessimistic outlook? And do you think that's unwarranted, if that's true?
Well, in America in general, I think that we have this kind of Hollywood attitude toward things of what's the worst case scenario. And we fixate on this. And, you know, not every country is this way, and not every piece of media is this way either. You know, if you look at, well, I always bring up Star Trek The Next Generation, it was kind of more of a positive attitude toward technology. But in some other countries, I think of Japan, for example, there's a whole different relationship when it comes to emerging technology and especially robots. But yeah, I do think that in America, these movies come to mind, these worst case scenario things, and that's what's brought up so often. You know, is it going to be like Terminator? Is it going to be, you know, and it's, is it warranted or is it unwarranted? I like the fact that we're thinking of, well, what's the worst case scenario so that we can figure out how to make sure that doesn't happen. But the problem is, I think so many of us are thinking, well, what's the worst case scenario? And then not looking for the solution. We're just fixating on the problem. And I do think that that is going to hold us back. It's almost like if you think about through history, where there was like an arms race or a race to the moon or race. There is a race right now when it comes to artificial intelligence and emerging technology. And it's really in this country's best interest to try to be ahead of the curve on that. But we do need to make sure that we're setting it up in a way that we're helping humans and not hurting humans.
Absolutely. And, you know, you bring up the fact that maybe we're lacking in some infrastructure currently to support these data centers, which could end up being a very positive thing. But maybe what you're saying is look at that as an opportunity, like, OK, this is an opportunity to create this new infrastructure that will work for us, that will ultimately benefit us.
I think we all have to go into it with, you know, what is the solution? Just saying no to something is going to be really difficult moving forward. What's so interesting right now in terms of the technology that we're seeing, you know, we're seeing robots. We're seeing more robots that are being designed for the home. If you would like a robot one day to do your laundry, fold your laundry, do your dishes, you know, that type of thing, there's going to have to be some changes when it comes to the amount of energy that we consume. And so, yeah, we have to be more solution oriented. Now, that's my personal opinion. Not everyone's going to feel that way. I like going into things thinking, how can we use this to make the world a better place? And if the answer is, it absolutely will not, well, okay, then is there a different direction that we can go? But I get really encouraged when I hear about researchers and engineers getting together and saying, well, how can we use this to cure cancer? How can we use this to reduce the amount of fatalities on our roads? What can we do to make sure that kids are getting the support they need if they're getting bullied? That type of thing. Like if we can go into it thinking, how can we use this for good? And I encourage everyone to do it that way too. Like if you're in, that's a big thing I always say, you know, if you are part of a business, and your company's starting to think about how we might want to implement artificial intelligence. And this is a really real opportunity for someone who's a bit tech savvy or who wants to be or ethics focused to take a seat at the table and start speaking up for technology that is going to work to everyone's benefit.
We're talking with Lindsay Mastis. She is an AI and tech anchor. You can check out some of her work at lindsaymastis.com. Gateway on the stream says this is a very interesting conversation. I tend to agree. We're going to talk to Lindsay some more, but right now we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Lindsay, I do want to ask you about this video you made recently about using AI to maybe make some new friends. So listeners can look forward to that whenever we come back on the other side of this break. You are listening to the Rachel Zimmer, or I keep doing that. I have a show on the weekends, the Rachel Zimmerman Show. Today I'm hosting the Dave Glover Show on KMOX. Don't want to confuse anyone. DGS on KMOX. We will be right back.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
We are back. You are listening to The Dave Glover Show on KMOX. I'm Rachel Zimmerman hosting today. And my guest right now is Lindsay Mastis, an AI and tech anchor. She is helping us sort out some things when it comes to AI. And Lindsay, you have a great website. You have a great YouTube channel. You're just really cranking out a ton of great stuff right now. I watched a video you made earlier today about using AI to make friends. Tell my audience a little bit about that.
Yeah, so this was something that I wasn't expecting. I had registered for an artificial intelligence event here in the DC area, and all of a sudden I get this email about this little bot named Bordy. And it said, hey, if you have like a 5-minute chat with me, I can connect you to some people who are going to the same event you are. And I thought, well, I don't know about this, right? I was kind of hesitant myself because what kind of data am I giving it? I wasn't really sure. But I thought, you know what? Let's try it. And so, yeah, through WhatsApp, I ended up having about a 7-minute conversation because I'm a talker, and it learned a little bit about me and what I was interested in, the kind of people that I would want to connect with. And so when I went to the event, I had 3 people that it had told me to connect with, that we all connected through email first. And this event was pretty massive, a lot of people. So I'm walking around trying to find, it's almost like, where's Waldo, right? Like I'm trying to find this one person based on their probably outdated LinkedIn picture. But ultimately, I ended up finding all 3 people and I hit it off with all 3 people. So I ended up making 3 new friends at this one event, all because AI put us together. And I thought, wow, you know, this is pretty brilliant. And I also felt good going to this event because I hadn't, you know, I registered solo, right? So if you ever go to an event by yourself, you're like, who am I going to talk to? I mean, I always seem to find somebody. But this time I had a reason to start a conversation. And it was so great because we'd be like, oh, you know, are you so-and-so? Bordy brought us together. And so instead of an awkward moment of what do you talk about, you can start talking about this AI bot. And I thought that was brilliant. And then I get home and a day or two passes and it, next thing I know, it's messaging me and it's saying it wants to connect me with somebody in France. I thought, well, you know what? Let's try it out. Hit it off with that person. That was really cool too. So I've met several people now through this AI app. And it's pretty new still. I mean, it's been around for maybe a year or so. They're still, you know, trying to get the word out about things. They don't have it, you know, things aren't perfect yet, but they're still trying some things out. But I thought it was really interesting that perhaps in the future, we can connect with people ahead of time so that we don't feel so alone, right? We have this loneliness epidemic going on in America right now, and AI is always looking, you know, a lot of people are using AI to solve that. But the best, you know, the best thing is to go out and be with actual people. But if AI can help facilitate that so that you're motivated to go out, you know, you're already going to have a friend where you're going, I think it might end up being something really brilliant. So I was really encouraged by this. Now, where is all my data ending up? I don't know for sure. You know, there's a lot of fine print with these things, but I felt like I wanted to take a chance. I wanted to try it out, and I had a really positive experience from doing this. So, yeah, it was strange, but I let AI pick my friends.
Lindsay, what you're describing here is a great example of using AI as a tool to enhance your life. I believe it was this video we're referencing now that I noted that you were, the AI was composing a message, but they were making it sound like it was from you. And you were like, no, I want it to sound more like it's coming from this agent, from this bot, what have you. That's an example of you knowing how to use this technology. I mean, do you feel in general the public needs to be educating themselves on like responsible ways to use this or ways to use it in which they feel comfortable rather than just kind of jumping in feet first?
Well, it depends on your comfort level. You know, I oftentimes jump in feet first because that is my job as a journalist, is to try it out to see, you know, what comes of it. But yeah, you know, one of the big things when it comes to AI, I've noticed a lot of people say, you know, I'm not sure what to ask or I'm not sure how to get started. You can actually ask what's called an LLM, a large language model. Those are the ones that generate text. You can ask it, what do I ask you? It can give you some examples. You can say, I'm not sure what to talk to you about, and it will help you out. And that's what I think is pretty nice about artificial intelligence, is that it will kind of base itself on what you're saying, right? So if I say, you know, in the case that you brought up, that was Bordy, and the AI was going to make an introduction between me and someone else. And I said, well, can you show me the email you're going to send before you send it? And can I approve it if I like it? And when it showed me what it was going to write, it was pretending to be me. Mm-hmm. I was not comfortable with that at all. I just didn't agree with that. I said, well, can you write it from you and introduce me to the person so they don't think I wrote this? Oh, absolutely. Right? Like, just ask.
Yeah, just knowing what to do.
Yeah, if you don't like the direction it's going or you're not comfortable, you can stop anytime. But yeah, that's the big thing about AI. It's like, you can actually ask. Now, will it run amok sometimes? Yeah, maybe. You know, it's not perfect. It's way more clunky than we give it credit for. I'm impressed by it. I'm dazzled by it. But my expectations for what artificial intelligence needs to be is a lot more advanced than where we're at right now. So I always tell people, you know, think of it like a child. You know, it's still learning. It's not going to get it right. It's going to make mistakes. You have to double check everything. It might do something you didn't want it to do, and to be prepared for that. I mean, it's just like, you know, just like a child, right? Mm-hmm. Like, here's some crayons. Here's how to color. Oh, okay, I didn't mean on the walls.
Yeah.
AI might do something like that.
That's Lindsay Mastis. Lindsay, I appreciate your honesty so much and just keeping it real about your experience. LindsayMastis.com is where people can learn more, unless there's another place you would like to direct people to before we go.
Sure. The YouTube channel is really great. If you want to see some videos, I try to keep everyone up to date and make sure that you're feeling empowered when you leave my channel. So just go to YouTube. I'm the only Lindsay Mastis in the world, LindsayMastis. So you should be able to find me real quick.
All right, Lindsay, we appreciate it so much and have a wonderful holiday season. You're listening to The Dave Glover Show. We will be right back on KMOX. We're going to talk to Dave Murray and get the weather forecast.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media, and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.